In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Volume 33, 5, 6, 34. Listen to me, my daughter. In creation, our primary purpose was man. But instead of creating man first, we created the heavens, the sun, the sea, the earth, the air, the winds as dwelling for where to place this man and to let him find everything that was needed in order to let him live. In the very creation of man, we first made the body, then infused in him the soul, more precious, more noble, and that contains more valuable than the body. Many times it is necessary to do the minor works in order to prepare the decency in the place for our greater works. Why marvel, therefore, that in descending from heaven to earth, in our divine mind, our primary objective was to constitute the kingdom of our divine will in the midst of the human family? So Jesus is showing that the reason for existing is for the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God did when he created man. He had the primary purpose was the divine will. Even more because of the first offense that Adam made against us, it was really directed to our divine will. Therefore, with justice, our first objective must be directing to strengthening the offended part of our most holy divine will and to restore its royal place to the divine will. And then the redemption came. So God is showing us that the reason for redemption is to bring about sanctification. And redemption came as in a superabundant way with such excesses of love as to astonish both heaven and earth. But why first? Because it had to serve and to prepare with decency, with decorum, with sumptuousness, with the atrocities of my suffering and of my death itself as kingdom and as army, as dwelling, as cortege, so to let my divine will reign. So this redemption was to prepare the world for the kingdom. In order to heal man, my suffering was needed. In order to give man life, my death was needed. Yet one tear of mine, one sigh of mine, one single drop of my blood would have been enough in order to save everyone, because everything that I did was animated by my supreme will. I can say that it was my divine will and my holy humanity that ran in all my acts and my most excruciating sufferings in order to seek man and place him in safety. How, therefore, can one deny the primary purpose to a volition so holy, so powerful, that embraces everything, and in which there is no life, no good, without the divine will? So here, Jesus wants us to know that he could have done anything, everything, just by a single drop of blood. Everybody could have been redeemed. But God wants to show us how much he loves us. And therefore, when we look at Christ crucified, we see the glory of God, how great our God is, that he would be willing to die every death, willing to suffer the torment of torments, the suffering of sufferings, in order to bring us this redemption, and now he wants to give us sanctification. So it is absurd to think of it. Therefore, all that I want and all things for you to do is to recognize it as the primary act of everything. So as you place yourself in our divine order, that there is nothing in which we do not give the primacy to our most holy divine will. So again, here, everything, the primacy of God is in his most holy divine will, everything, even his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. See, the Lord wants us to live, you know, his life. When Adam chose not to live God's life, he chose basically to live a human life, and we were, again, cast out of heaven to come to earth to live in time and space, and that means this body has to die. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was to bring about the kingdom of of God on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so God's primary plan was that we live a divine life, that God breathe in our breathing, that His heart beat in our heart beating. He wants to share with us His divinity, and that is so far from us now that as we begin to grow in the knowledge of the divine will, we see that the human is, you know, not what God wants us to possess. He wants us to possess human in His image, in His likeness. And that is so far from what we know. We look at the saints, and this is all that we understand is the sanctity of the saints. And for only a few of us can we obtain that sanctity where the church proclaims us as saints. But God wants us now to enter into this divine life. He wants us to enter into the life that He originally planned for Adam. And that's what He breathed into Louisa. And He says it's an army, you know, it's a host, it's a conquering element or conquering power that will bring the human back to the divine. So as we learn these truths found in Louisa, as we begin to speak these truths and live these truths, our life is never the same. It can't be the same. It's not just a good and holy and saintly life, which we learn from volume 1 through volume 10, but we begin to live in the divine will, the life of God's will, in volume 11 through volume 19, to begin to possess the divine inheritance of the Father, which we find in volume 20 through volume 36. And again, these are good. He says, I've saved these writings for the worst of times. It is so bad out there that this is good that God has given us these writings. And if we can eliminate all the things that distract us to begin to hear this word of God found in Louisa, this word that was conceived in Louisa, as we begin to live this life, our life becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. It becomes a life of heaven, no longer that of earth. So in volume 33, 7, 20, 34, we begin, it is only sin that makes one lose sanctity and puts the operating life of my divine will outside of the creature. Because if there is no sin, we, triune God, carry the soul in our womb. We, triune God, surround the soul with our divine sanctity. Therefore, the soul cannot do less than feel in herself the operating life of my most holy divine will. So none of us at this point feel the fullness of the operating life of the divine will in our soul yet. None of us do. The first one who will be the Holy Father. Because Jesus says to Louisa in volume 15, I give you this gift, Louisa, so that you can give it back to the man. This gift that God wants us to possess is first going to be found in the Holy Father. It always takes two. It's, you know, Adam and Eve, Jesus and Mary, Louisa, and the Holy Father. You know, He is the vicar of Christ on earth. He has the keys to the kingdom. So as the Holy Father begins to live this and proclaim it, all their souls will be able to live this life. It's very much like what John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II did. And he proclaimed divine mercy to the world. He lived it and proclaimed it. He possessed it and gave it to the world. Now, when the Holy Father begins to live the divine will, the life of Louisa, the life that God breathed into Louisa, then He will give this, as a good shepherd, He will give this to His flock. And then there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. This is what God has planned. See, therefore, everything and everyone have beginning and are born together in my most holy divine will, innocent and holy and worthy of God who has created them. But who is the one who conserves this innocence and holiness? Who is the one who is always in her place in my holy divine will? And that is Louisa Picaretta. Louisa alone is the triumphant one. Why? Because she is the true daughter of Jesus. She is the true daughter of Mary, the two that lived fully in the divine will. She alone is the triumphant one in the space of the universe. Louisa is the standard bearer. Louisa gathers together the whole army of creation in order to bring them to God with a speaking voice, with full knowledge, with the glory and the honor and the tribute of everything and everyone. Everything is repaired. Everything is done because of little Louisa. This, again, we've mentioned it before. What the Pentecostals are praying for, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit that God breathed into Louisa. What the Charismatics are looking for is the Spirit that Jesus breathed into Louisa. This second Pentecost that's going to come upon the earth, this fire that's going to, you know, emblazon the whole world is what Jesus says. It's Louisa alone is the triumphant one. Louisa alone in the whole space of the universe. Louisa alone is the standard bearer. Louisa gathers together the army of creation in order to bring them back to God. And with a speaking voice, with full knowledge, with the glory and the honor and the tribute of everyone and everything. Volume 33, 724, 34. Now, all the truths about my divine will have not gone forth yet, and those that remain wait with anxiety to come forth from within our divinity in order to complete their office and be bearers and transformers of the goods that they possess. Now again, this is 1934. All the truths about the divine will have not gone forth yet. This is the army that's going to conquer the world. What is this army? How can Our Lady be victorious and triumphant in her Immaculate Heart? It's through this army of the divine will found in the truths that are within Louisa. They have not gone forth yet, and they remain and wait with anxiety to come forth from within our divinity in order to complete their office and be bearers and transformers of the good that they possess. And when all the truths that we, Triune God, have disposed to you, Louisa, to come forth have been manifested, all together these noble queens will give us the assault to our divine being as an invincible army, and with our own divine weapons, they will conquer us, and they will obtain the triumph of the kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. So the fulfillment of the Our Father, which we've been praying for 2,000 years, is going to happen by this glorious and victorious army that's found within Louisa. To resist them will be impossible for us, Triune God. By conquering God, they will also conquer the creatures. God and man will become one, as God originally planned for Adam. The speaking about my divine will is the continuation of the creation of the fiat that created the universe. And when the creation of the universe was preparation to the creation of man, so today my speaking about my fiat is nothing other than the continuation of the creation in order to prepare the sumptuousness, the decency for my kingdom and for those who will possess it. So as we read this, Jesus is getting everything ready for the kingdom to be established. See, the word of God, Jesus Christ, has dictated these words to Louisa. And these words are powerful. They're full of power. It's an invincible army. And as we learn these truths that Jesus breathed into Louisa, then we will be able to have this kingdom reign in us and in the whole world. So Jesus says to Louisa and to us, therefore be attentive and do not let anything escape you. And when we read this, don't just skim through this. He says often, you must know. We must know this in order to live it. To know, love, and possess God. Be attentive and do not let anything escape you. Otherwise you would suffocate an act of my divine will and constrain me to repeat my lessons. So God wants us to live this. As he speaks, see, the word is power. As the word of God speaks to us through Louisa, that's found in the interior of Louisa, divine power is given to us. And again, this isn't, you know, to be lording it over anyone. It's the power, it's the life of God, the image and likeness of God that God breathed into Adam, this divine nobility, when Adam spoke to creation, it obeyed. See, Jesus says he wants us to possess this command You say to that mountain, move, and it must move. You say to this sycamore, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it must obey you. Why? Because it's the power of God. It's the power of the Word. In the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus. The gospel this weekend was, you have not yet asked the Father in my name. Ask anything to the Father in my name, and it will be given to you. See, the power of the Word hasn't fully manifested itself yet. This is why this book of heaven is so essential that we focus on it. Now, the devil would rather have you focus on anything else, even holy things, good things, saintly things, than reading the volumes of the book of heaven. Because he knows as you read this, his kingdom is diminishing. As you read this, the power of that word of God dictated to Louisa that you read as you absorb this word, the word becomes conceived in you. It is formed in you. And like with Jesus being conceived and formed in Mary, it was conceived and formed in Louisa, and now God wants to conceive and form this word in us. Volume 34, 6, 18, 34. We, Triune God, will give surprising gifts. Our wisdom will put forth in all its divine art, and oh, how many beautiful images that resemble us, Triune God, with its divine light will put forth, will be all beautiful, will be distinct one from another in divine sanctity, in divine power, in divine beauty, in divine love, in divine gifts. Image and likeness of God. See, we are attracted to the human. How beautiful this painting is. How beautiful this house is. How beautiful this valley is. Well, Jesus says, no, I want you to resemble me, God. And this is what he's saying. We haven't even seen the sanctity, the power, the beauty, the love that God wants to give us. Our divine love will not be hindered anymore. And finding our holy divine will, we will be able to do it and to give what the divine will wants. Therefore, the divine will display so much in giving in order to recover the losses of its repressed love. And since we, Triune God, will be free in giving, we will call them our times. We will make ourselves known for who we, Triune God, are and how much we, Triune God, love souls and how the souls should love us. See, it's heaven to love, to fall in love, to be in love with God, God in love with man. It's the kiss of heaven and earth. We will give them our love at their disposition so that we, Triune God, could love each other with one single love. And in fact, the one who will live in our holy divine will be our triumph, our victory, our divine army, the continuation of our creation and its completion. To see what God's got planned, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary are the souls living in the divine will. Why? Because that's what Jesus lived in. That's what Our Lady lived in. Now they have newborns living in the divine will. It's God's victory. It's God's divine army. It's going to conquer the world. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. But again, Jesus says it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love. Volume 34, 6, 28, 37, my daughter Louisa, do not marvel because of what I have told you. Okay, and it's the same thing with us. As you read this, you become enamored by these truths. You become filled with light and life and love. And he says, don't marvel at this. I've got more that I want to give you. Keep on diving into these writings. Read them. Learn these truths. Learn this word. Let it be conceived in you. Let it be formed in you so that you can really be in God's image and likeness. Jesus says, I will tell you more surprising things, but how much I would want that everyone would listen in order to make everyone decide to live in my most holy divine will. Again, the image that we have from Saint Benedict, to listen is to obey, to hear is to obey. I mean, that's Jesus speaks this word, this powerful word, and it comes to life in us when we obey. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. Okay, so God now has to give back to man this life only if we are obedient, only if we are faithful. That's why to be obedient to the church, to the dogma and doctrine of the church, is so essential. If we can be obedient to Christ and his church, not compromising, not twisting, not perverting the truth, but obedient to the truth, God can give us this gift of the divine will. If we are not going to be faithful to the church, especially Humanae Vitae, if we are not obedient to the church, God cannot give us this gift. He can't give it back to us because it's in a disobedient, unfaithful heart, unfaithful soul. So he says, "Oh, how I, God, would want that everyone would listen and obey in order to live in my divine will." Listening, however, how consoling and beautiful to what my love pushes me to tell you. Listen, read, and study this book. So much is my love that I feel I need of telling you where we triumph God reach for one who lives in our divine will. And then he says, you must know, underlined, you must know. This is a command from God. That as the soul decides repeatedly and firmly to live no more of her human will, but only of the divine will, her name becomes written in heaven with indelible characters of light, and she becomes enrolled in the celestial militia as heiress and daughter of the kingdom of the divine will. So we want to be part of this army. We want to be part of this host. Army means hosts, the host of angels, the army of angels, the hosts of the children of God, to be part of this militia, become an heiress of the kingdom, a daughter, a son of the kingdom. And then Jesus says, but this is not enough for our love. We confirm in the soul, in good, in a way that the soul will feel such horror for every least sin that she will not be able anymore of falling into sin. Think of that. God is going to perfect us. How? Through this gift of the divine will. As we read it and study it and put it into practice, sin will be so far from us, we'll be horrified by it. We will not fall into sin. We will not be capable, God says, of falling. Not only this, but she will remain confirmed in the goods and in the love and the sanctity of God, of her Creator. She will be invested by the prerogative and of reclaimed part. She will no longer be looked at as an exile. And if she will remain on earth, she will be as an officiating to the celestial militia, but not as an exiled. So even on earth, we are part of this host of heaven. We are part of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Again, this is an invincible army. It cannot be conquered. It is conquering army. It is a conquering army, and the kingdom of the evil one is banished, is gone. She will have all the goods at her disposition, all the goods of God at your disposition. She will be able to say, his holy divine will is mine, being mine, what is of God is mine. Image and likeness, to do what God does. Jesus says that, you'll do far greater things than I. How can this be possible? By living in the divine will. Rather, she will feel herself possessor of her God. And since she no longer operates with human will, but with my holy divine will, all the barriers are broken that impeded her from hearing her God. See, the word of God is speaking. And we begin to hear God in a way that we've never heard him before. She will feel herself so loved by God who created her as to feel her heart burst with love in order to love God who loves her. And feeling herself loved by God is the greatest joy, the greatest honor, the greatest glory for a soul. See, to enter into this love, which is heaven on earth, there's nothing greater than this. See, you will be able to let go of everything that is human, everything that is lowly. And you will begin to embrace everything that is divine, everything that is from above. Our life is going to drastically change as we read, study, and put into practice these truths. This is God's promise. This is what he said he's been waiting 6,000 years to do. And now he's allowing this to happen to the souls who give their fiat. My daughter, do not marvel. They are our goals. They are the purpose for which the creatures were created. And that is to find in the soul our divine life, our divine reigning of the holy divine will, our divine love, in order to be loved and to love her. If this were not so, all creation would be a work unworthy of us, Triune God. So he says very clearly, to share in divinity, to be that drop of water put in the chalice filled with wine. The priest says this every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Everything that we've studied with the saints, all our dogma and our doctrine of the church, points to the divine will, points to live this abundant life of the divine will. Louisa says, I felt my heart burst with joy in hearing what my dear Jesus told me. And again, as our hearts burst in with joy, are we really hearing what Jesus is saying to us through Louisa? And I said to myself, is it possible? Is all this great good possible? And again, Jesus says, I could do nothing less than this. I would not be a God if I could not do this, to give to my children my divine life. The one who with firm decision has given her human will to me, Jesus says, has given me, God, the most noble, the most precious part, and that is her human will. See, God says that he created the universe for man, but he created the human will for God. And when Adam stole it from God, sin, the original sin, God has been waiting 6,000 years for man to give back to God what is his, rightfully his, and that's our human will. To let God reign in us, breathe in our breathing, beat in our heart beating, circulate in our blood circulating. He wants to gaze in our gazing, hear in our hearing, speak in our speaking. God wants to reign. He wants to be Lord and Master and King and Savior of who we are. He wants us to participate in his divinity. In it, she has given me all the interior and exterior, even the breath. And with this, she has merited to be written in the divine army in a way that everyone will know that she belongs to our divine militia. See, that's what God is asking about. He wants to give us what he gave to Louisa. So that means we got to think like Louisa. We've got to pray like Louisa. We've got to act like Louisa. When God sees this, he says, when I see this, when I see the soul wants nothing but the divine will, Louisa, the divine will, then I will give it to them. And unfortunately, at this point, no one has done this. And our job is to live this so that the Holy Father will be the first. And then everyone else will enter into the sheepfold through the gate that the Pope has the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus says to Louisa, you, Louisa, must be the key that the Pope will use to bring everyone back. How could I let her lack anything? How not to love this soul? If this could be, it would be have been the greatest sorrow for your Jesus. It would have taken away the peace that I, God, possess by nature, not to love Louisa, who has given me everything, and who with an indescribable love I, God, possess. I keep Louisa in my sacred heart, and I let Louisa have my life itself. This is the divine life. This is why, you know, I love the saints. You know, they're really beautiful, holy, saintly, and good. But they do not possess the divine life that Jesus breathed into Louisa. This is why Louisa is the newborn, the firstborn. And as we grow in the knowledge of Louisa, these truths that Jesus has breathed into her, that Our Lady have breathed into her, As we begin to live this life, the whole world is being transformed. The devil is being escorted out, booted out by St. Michael himself. And this is our job. Why are we alive today? We're alive today so that the kingdom can reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 35, 10, 33, 37. You must know. Again, underlined and capitalized. This is what Jesus says. You have to know this. That our Supreme Being possesses by nature an act always new. New is God. A new heavens isn't God's heaven. A new earth is God's earth. The new ark that we're supposed to enter into is God's. God does everything new, and he says very clearly, our Supreme Being possesses by nature an act always new. So when you read new with Louisa, you can replace it with God. It's a God act. Therefore, these acts established for creatures will be the new and distinct one from another, distinct in their sanctity, ever new in their beauty, more beautiful than the other, new in their love, new in their power, new in their goodness. Just to say it again, distinct in their divine sanctity, divine beauty, divine love, divine power, divine goodness. Our God has such love for us that all he's asking of us to do is to give our fiat and let him reign in us. Let him breathe in our breathing, beat in our heartbeat. And when you wake up in the morning, you're prevenient act, all that I think, say, and do today, Jesus, will be done in the holy divine will, linked with you in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that everything I think, everything that I say, everything that I do will be a divine I love you from every human, from every breath that they take, every heartbeat that they make. It's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. Infinite, almost infinite. And what happens at that point is it's calling the fire from heaven to earth. This is the love of God, Jesus and Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire comes down from heaven, like Elijah calling fire down from heaven. We are calling, we're wearing the scapular, like Elijah. We're calling this fire down. But more so than Elijah. Because the whole world is going to be consumed. And that's why Our Lady says it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. This is what God is looking for. He's looking and praying that we begin to let this new beauty, this new love, this new power, this new goodness reign in us. Never seen before. Never seen. These act formed and fed by us, Triune God, so that they possess all our divine characteristics. They are all divinely beautiful. They're in various sanctity. Divine love and divine beauty, each one different from the other. They will be our order, the types of our various beauties, the fecundity of our divine love, the harmony of our divine wisdom. Oh, how it shows the creation that all our works, all of them, are divinely beautiful. Heaven is not the sun. The wind is not the sea. The flowers are not the fruit. But all of them are beautiful, though although different from one from the other, even where they form the harmony of the various beauties, the true image of our act and of the creatures themselves. As we enter into this gift of the divine will, being participating in this divine army, which are the truths of Louisa, they conquer our human will. Our human will does not want to stand in the way any longer of what God, of God's holy divine will. Conquering the earth, reclaiming the earth, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So he says again, you must know these. This is what Jesus wants us to know and to memorize. These acts in my divine will form an army of new beauties, of new love, of new sanctity. And we, Triune God, feel enraptured by merely looking at them. We, Triune God, anxiously await for the coming of the creatures who, by possessing our most holy divine will, shall equip them, be equipped with them, and possess them. So here, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. God's got great plans. He needs us to give our fiat. He needs us to give our yes, so that he, God, can reign in us. We have to stop, you know, really living in our misery. Our worry, our fear, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativity have to end. It has to be nailed to the cross with Jesus. When you start to complain, stop and nail it to the cross of Jesus. This is no longer mine. When we start to worry, stop. This worry is not mine anymore. I have given it up. I trust in God completely. I believe in God 100%. See, the Lord is really looking for souls that want what He wants. If you continue to be miserable, if you continue to worry, being fearful, being anxious, complaining, and being negative, you're going to have to go to purgatory to get that out of your system. You have to be purged of that. Say, right now it's divine mercy. God has given us the grace to be free of those things. To see, it's interwoven in our life. It might have been your parents, your grandparents who helped teach you how to be negative. Okay, well, that's got to stop. We need the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, to be our parents, to teach us how to live a life without any more worry, without any more fear, complaints, and negativity. And that means that the one who possesses the true life of Jesus or the true life of Mary, Luisa Picaretta, has to begin to live in us. I mean, she has to begin to live in us. Okay, how does that happen? By reading, by studying, by putting into practice the truths that Jesus breathed into Luisa. Again, our God has great plans, great, great plans, and He's asking us to give our fiat. Now, the time is short. We have to live as if each day is our last day. We have to live totally surrendered to God, totally docile to God. And again, how do we accomplish that? By reading. The truths that are found in the divine will, the truths that are found in the book of heaven, will transform your life. And that means that you got to turn off the radio, turn off the newspapers, turn off the magazines, turn off the television, turn off the internet, and start to read. Not silly books, not human books, but a divine book, a book from heaven. And as we begin to read this, we begin to understand the order and the purpose of the place for which we were created. And we strive to live that. Now, nobody's going to force you to do that. Nobody can force you to do that. It's your commitment to Jesus and Mary through Luisa. It's your commitment. You kneel down in front of the Lord, and you say to the Lord, "Lord, I want what you want. I crucify to the cross my worry, my fear, my anxiety, my complaints, my negativity, my sin. And if I ever embrace them again, I want you, Lord, help me quickly nail them to the cross again, never to be seen." To begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. To begin to live a life of God, a life of heaven. Then watch the power that these words will be able to accomplish in you. It's not just praying in the name of Jesus, but it's praying with the Word of God, conceived in us, formed in us. It's to give life to God as we breathe, as our heart beats. It's to begin to change the face of the earth. This is the army that's going to conquer the world. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. We, as Jesus taught St. Faustina, and more clearly teaches Luisa in volume 15 and volume 16, how to become a living host. So that as God becomes our food, as we eat the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ and drink His blood with the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, then God now begins to give us His life. We begin to have His life reign in us. And then Jesus says to us, "I want you to be a living host so that I, God, can consume you, that you become my food." Why? Because it's God reigning in us. and God receives himself. So what God is asking of us is are things that are incomprehensible to man. Yet in with the faith of the church that God gives us, by being in communion with God, Christ and his church, he begins to teach us things never seen before. Again, this is not a new revelation. This is what sanctification is all about. There's nothing new in Revelation. But this is the life that Adam had before the fall. It's the oldest of gifts. And God wants to return that gift to us. So how glorious this is that our God is asking us, pleading with us, to read, study, and put this into practice. Our Lord has such beautiful things in store. It's an infinite amount of treasures, an infinite amount of gifts that he has never even showed the angels. This is hidden for man, hidden for his children. And he says basically at the turn of the last century, over 100 years ago, how I long that mankind receive the gifts again. The gifts that I have basically planned from the beginning of time, to the gifts that for all eternity we will be, as St. Thomas tells us in the beatific vision, the awe of God, in awe of God. How glorious this is. So what we'll do is we'll end there and we'll begin in a few minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.